and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
In stores, boy, let me tell you, to be me is a task, but I'm sucker free in this rat race and I make it look like a blast. Pray to God, I hope this pass came a long way from my past, but my cosmonet's so filled up I gotta be nice to talk trash. Pinky finger, evil laugh, scheming while they dreaming, knowing that purple cloud this evening, so every picture they catch me cheesing, so I say swerve, cause that's my word, cause I think I'm seeing in 3D, like I don't know where I am, so I'm wavy till they see me. Please don't adjust your TV, just check the volume and turn up, spit so gasoline, so every track bound to get burned up.
I'm in my zone, catch me in my zone, yeah I'm in my zone, yeah you can catch me in my zone, I'm in my zone, catch me in my zone. Yeah, I'm in my zone, yeah, you can catch me in my zone. I'm in my zone.
Philly, Jersey, Delaware, Hogwarts, Wakanda, London, Berlin, anywhere that's in the earshot of your boy. What's good? It is another Wednesday night. It is the last Wednesday of February. February 27th, to be exact. And if you're wondering where your girl is, she is probably tuned in listening to me. WJMS and Big Smiles Events present the Be Out Here radio show, hosted by your boy, Tommy Two Thumbs, a.k.a. the Bull with the Locks and Respect, and my favorite co-host, Just James. What's up, love? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Just one of them days.
All right, Monica.
I'm not even gonna lie. I got like weird energy going on tonight. This is one of my like more sillier moods because I'm like, I've been really stressed out and, you know, good things are happening, bad things are happening. So you ever just be so stressed out? You ever see the meme, just like fire going on all over the place and just like, yep, this is nice. I'm good. Like, it's a lot. So,
man, I moved
tomorrow though. So I'm excited about that if above anything else.
You have what? Where? Say that again.
I'm moving tomorrow, so I'm, like, super excited about moving.
To what? To where? To what? Huh?
I'm moving out of my apartment into my house.
Oh, check you out.
Yeah, you know.
I guess that worked out.
Yeah, kind of, you know. That's the good thing. It's bad news surrounded around it, but whatever. It happens. I'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so what's your rant for tonight? You got a rant? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Before we even get into that, my bad. If y'all want to give us a call, the number is 914-619-5267. Again, 914-619-5267. You can also check us out on Facebook. I am broadcasting live right now on my Facebook page. I am at Jamie Jam on Facebook. You can also check out the radio station page at WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. Tweet us, comment us, whatever you got. Tonight should be a very good conversation for you. So hopefully we get some good conversation going in the chats as well. But anyway, sorry. Did you have a rant?
Do I have a rant? Yeah, no, maybe small rant. Middle finger to petty people. That's about it. That's my rant right there.
That was boring. That petty was a people. Waste of my ear space.
No, because like, you know what? Because my rant has been like consistently starting to become the same thing. Because I'm dealing with like the same issue ongoing over and over again. And it's like it's the meat and potatoes of my rant. Like people that's just petty. People that can't seem to communicate, people that can't, you know, can't disagree. Like, it's completely okay for you and me to have a difference in opinion, and we don't have to argue and be at each other's throat and not like each other. It just doesn't make any sense. I had a really healthy debate with one of my homies today. Shout out to Mr. H. Shine, don't forget to Mr. Today about R&B singers, and we had a difference of opinion. We both shared our opinions, and then we ended the conversation agreeing to disagree. And he's still my friend at the end of the day. I just feel like more people should be able to do that, because it's just like really irritating me that, you know, I have a lot of opinions that people won't agree with. And because of that, now I feel like I'm having to cut people off because they can't seem to disagree appropriately. You know, it's just, it's whatever. That's me. All right.
I feel like that's not petty people, but okay, I see what you're doing there. But all right. Like,
I mean, it is, it's like a level of like petty and like immaturity. You know what I mean? Like people that can't like express their problems, so they just want to do little underhanded, little petty stuff to like bug people or to get their point across, instead of just saying, hey, you know, you're doing something that's bothering me, or we need to come to some kind of compromise because this is going on, or we got to work together, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's irritating. You know, that's what bothers me.
My rant is brief. I'm going to keep it very brief. You know, I always got to rant about my commute because it's always something on my commute. So, I'm just saying. So anyway, my commute is semi-long every now and then, and it's a pain in the butt. And if anybody's ever been on the New York City subway or the New York City bus system, y'all know how it gets. But anyway, my pet peeve is like the people that spend the entire ride on their phone, like talking on the phone. Because I'm like, first of all, we're on a subway car. So for 95% of the ride, we're underground. So it's like no big deal. I actually look forward to it being underground because then you all got to shut up and stop talking, which is great. So it's nice and quiet. And then as soon as you get above ground, you got the people that are like waiting to dial that last number to like for the train to come out of the subway tunnel. And it's just like, send, hello. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, my God, like, do we have to listen to this? Like, no, I realize I don't have to listen to it and I can put headphones on. But that's not the point I'm trying to make here. The point I'm trying to make is nobody cares about what you're talking about. Nobody wants to hear your conversation. Nobody wants to hear you run your mouth for 45 minutes on a bus ride when you're sitting next to somebody or sitting in front of somebody or sitting behind somebody, when you're in close quarters with anybody. Nobody feels like listening to you run your mouth for 45 minutes. Just shut up. Wait till you get off the bus. Like, do you? And then the people that decide they want to have full-blown arguments on the bus, they're the ones that really baffle me. Because I'm like, oh, so now we all got to be in your argument? Like, so now we all got to sit here and just be here. Like, really? That stuff makes me so mad, because at the end of the day, like, I just want to have a quiet ride home. That's all I want to do. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want nobody talking to me. I don't want nobody making me take my headphones out because you want to ask me questions. I don't want none of that. I just want everybody to be quiet and just sit still and to just be. We get from point A to point B and everything is fine. But that's always too much to ask. Like, there's always just that one person that decides they're going to have an argument on the train or on the bus. And it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to take your rant a little personally, because, like,
that's you, ain't it? That's you.
Yeah.
Well,
me. Like,
so
what are those people?
Just so you know, you're a pain in the behind. Don't do that. Like, it's really annoying.
Listen,
to people that are not on the phone to have to hear your conversation.
This is why they created headphones. This is why they created headphones. Put the headphones on if you don't want to hear my conversation.
This is why they created text messaging.
This is why.
Get your thumbs to put your thumbs to work.
Phone services. This is why phone companies and phone services have made their services that much better, so that you can use your phone underground. Okay. Sometimes I need to make my phone call before I get to my destination. Sometimes we're having this argument and I don't want to get out. I'm not about to sit here and wait for the train or let trains go by so I can have my argument.
So you the people
sometimes
I hate. You the person I hate.
Right now.
Nah, you the person I hate. You the person I'd be sitting on the train like looking at you like, really? Absolutely really right now? This is what we got to do. Like, you would be that person. And you know what? That doesn't even surprise me. With Chit Chatter Box behind, that does not surprise me in the slightest of bits that you are the one that wants to be on the phone all day running your mouth, Chatty Cathy. Like, doesn't surprise me at all. So, anyway.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of weird about it, too, because, like, I get irritated by, like, you know, the kids. Like, I hate commuting during school hours, or during the hours of school's letting out, because those kids are ridiculous. It's, like, the worst. They're so loud. Screaming and hollering on the phone, talking to each other across the room, and I hate that. So I guess I can kind of understand where you're coming from. But then at the same time, like, if I'm arguing, like, I'm trying to whisper. I'm not just, like,
but
being loud and laughing on the phone. Like, I'm, like, I'll purposely put my – I'll take it off my headphones so that I have to put my phone to my ear, and then I can kind of, like, cuff my hand so that, you know, like,
no.
You won't completely hear my conversation.
Don't worry.
But, you know, it happens, though. It happens. I'll tell you a quick story, though. I was having a conversation with somebody about something that was incredibly inappropriate to be having as an open conversation. And I didn't even realize that I was having that conversation on the train until I like got off the train and saw people looking at me.
You know what the other thing is? The other thing is too, I'm standing on the train and I see a lot of stuff on the train. And that's the thing that blows my mind, is like the amount of things that just, like, you see some things on the New York City subway. I mean, I've seen some things on the New York City subway that I'm just like, oh, clutch my pearls. Like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, all kinds of things. And, like, I'd be seeing these little kids, and I feel so bad. And I'm like, if I was to ever, when I do have kids, I will not be raising my children in New York because nobody cares. Those same people arguing on the phone will straight cuss somebody out with a 2-year-old sitting right next to them or right behind them and not care. And it's like, yo, this is why New York people are so roughnecks. Cause like you ride the subway and you just grow up gangsta. Like there's no way to ride the subway and not grow up gangsta. I'm sorry. So I'm sorry. My little children are gonna be, I don't know, somewhere driven around because public transportation ain't it, man. Like people have no respect at all.
You trying to say ain't no gangsters that ride the train?
No, I'm saying you have to be gangster to ride the train. Like, and if you grow up as a little kid riding the train, you like super gangster. Like you are a mini thug no matter what, because you have to be, because you see so many things. Like I've seen stuff that I'm just like, yo, this is like inappropriate. You got like little kids sitting here swinging their legs off the end of the seat and you're talking about like just all this stuff. And I'm like, yo, like you don't see little man right here? Like, all right. You're right. Whatever. Like, people just don't care. They don't care. That's the other thing. But whatever. Anyway.
I feel like it's an emotional thing. You know, sometimes, especially if it's an argument. Like, the people that just are having this random
conversation.
Or whatever, and they screaming and hollering and laughing and all that, that's something different. But, like, if you're having, like, a full-blown argument, that's emotionally driven. Like, I don't realize there are little kids around me. Or in this moment, I don't care that there are little kids around me because this mofo on the other side of me is pissing me off.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, if I need to have that kind of argument with somebody, I'm going to go on ahead and wait till I get home so that they can get the full... Because I'm not going to try and be like... Like, I'm not doing all that. Like, I need you to get the full attitude, and I'm not tailoring my conversation back. So I'm going to wait till I get off the bus, and then wait till I get off the bus, because I'm going up one side of you and down the other, like, because I waited for this, and now I've had time to rehearse. That's why you should wait. Like, you got so much time to rehearse your argument on the bus, because you know you'd be in an argument, and then you're like, dang, I should have told him he was this. I should have said that to her. Like, all these things you thought of, you should have thought instead of, should have said to the person, you could be rehearsing them on the bus and leaving us all alone and be quiet. It's a win-win. Done deal.
I don't know. I mean, like, and then two, like, part of the reason why I do it is to keep from screaming and hollering. Like, you're not going to scream and holler on the bus. So, or at least some people are going to scream and holler on the bus. So I use that sometimes to maybe swing the argument in a positive way. You know what I mean? Like, have an actual debate and a discussion rather than an argument because, hey, I'm on a train, I'm on a bus, I can't be screaming. So can we just talk about this like regular human beings? Like, sometimes it helps. Whatever. Sometimes it helps.
Nah, man. Nah. Anyway. All right. So we digress. This has gone on far too long. We got to move on to the show at hand. Yes. So, folks, we have a good conversation for tonight. For those folks that don't know or haven't realized, we've been kind of bombarded lately with racist marketing. You know, we had Gucci. We've had Prada. We've had Burberry. We got H&M, you know, there's no shortage of just marketing and advertising that is just blatantly racist right in our faces nowadays. So Tommy and I are going to take a little while to just kind of talk about it, get to the bottom of it and kind of get you guys' opinions and figure out sort of what's going on or not what's going on, but just discuss what's happening and why we think it's going on. So, T, where do you want to start? I guess we'll start with the history, of why this stuff is racist. So the reason this came about was the fact that Gucci this last week and a half or whatever it was, came out with a sweatshirt or a turtleneck, I guess. First of all, who still wears turtlenecks? But anyway, came out with a turtleneck that comes up to the mid half of your face, right underneath your nose or right above your nose, actually. And it was all black and it had bright red lips with a mouth cut out. So it looked like, you know, it looked like blackface, and it basically was blackface. It was no looking like it was blackface.
Like blackface.
Yeah, it was.
Black. I'm trying to hear that. People have sent me the picture of like the white version of it, and they're like, you know, black people just making it too much. No, I didn't try to hear that. It looks goofy with the peach flesh color. It looks like blackface with the black, period.
Yeah, exactly. So the history of that, I mean, this takes us all the way back to, like, real quick, because I know nobody's here for history, but there's a reason why it's racist. I think the problem that people have is that they don't realize this. They're like, oh, people are just being sensitive. Black people are just being sensitive. But that's not the case. Like, the history of blackface is the reason why we get upset about it, because the history of blackface is the reason why it's racist. And if you don't know your history, then we're doomed to continue repeating the same exact stuff, which is one of the reasons why I think this is happening. But to get to the background of it, like, the first minstrel shows and all that kind of stuff happened back in, like, the 1830s. They were by white performers who usually would use burnt cork or some kind of, you know, makeup back then to color their faces black and put on these shows with tattered clothing and, you know, beaten down, you know, hats and things like that, just to imitate and mimic enslaved Africans or southern plantations, basically. And, you know, it's like all the stereotypes that you could think about for black people: lazy, ignorant, superstitious, hypersexual, you know, thieves, always eating watermelon, stuff like that. So what happens is they would put on these shows and they would make fun of black people by doing all of these things. So that's where this idea of blackface kind of came about. And then you think like, you know, it expanded to other things like the Mammies and the Uncle Toms and the Bucks and the Jezebels and all that kind of stuff. All of these things sort of, they've taken on their own life. They've taken on their own sort of personification in today's society, in a sense that they've all come back in secret ways. Like, even looking at the Aunt Jemima syrup, that's Mammy. You know, looking at Madea, looking at Big Mama's House with Martin Lawrence. All of these, you know, fat, heavyset black women are stereotypical African-American women that, you know, we laugh at, we don't think anything about it, but those all have racist histories, you know? So the reason why people get upset and the reason why people are pissed off about this is because they're taking something that was, same as the N-word, something that was originally or is still associated with racism, and they're bringing it back for something like, you know, casual, like fashion, like, oh, we didn't know. And it's BS. You know, and it's aggravating because it just feels like they come out with this racial thing and they're like, hey, look at this. Throw it out there to us. Then everyone gets pissed off and they're like, oh, our bad. We're so sorry. We're all about diversity. Our bad. It'll never happen again. And then they pull it all back and everything is supposed to be hunky-dory. But I call BS. Like, I call super BS.
I'm going to tell you, Jay, it's like, you know, it's just like what you just said. Like, we never actually fix the problem, so we're doomed to repeat it. Like, that's all it is at the end of the day. Like, these, you know, like, the whole minstrel shows and, like, you know, also, like, let's not forget, black people weren't allowed in Hollywood in the beginning, and, you know, the beginnings of early days of film. You know what I mean? So roles that should have been for black actors were portrayed by white actors wearing blackface. Like, the same way the N-word, and, like, there's just so many different things that happened during that time period that misrepresented African-Americans. And then once, you know, like, you have to think slavery and civil rights movement and segregation and all these things, they weren't that long ago. Yeah. A lot of times we talk to these, you know, these bigots and these racist people and these people in power that just say, oh, you know, we'll just get over it, or that happened years ago. Like, dude, that happened to my grandma. Like,
yeah, like, she's right here.
You know what I mean? Like, she's sitting right here. Like, my grandma could tell me a story. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't that long ago. Like, yeah. And these things just keep reoccurring because you never recognize that this was an issue, that this was a problem. You remember the movie came out a couple of years ago with Sabian Glover and Tommy Davidson and Dana Wayne's, what was it called, Bamboozled?
That did not come out a couple of years ago, bro. That was like, okay. That came out a long time ago.
It came away years ago, whatever. Yeah. But like, Bamboozled came out like years ago.
I remember that.
You know, I remember that movie when it came out, like, it didn't get as much exposure as it should have got, but that was, like, about the men. Spike Lee did that movie, too, didn't he?
I think he did.
That was Spike Lee doing, right?
Might have
been. Or he produced it or something.
Or he was in it, something, yeah.
But anyway, but, like, that, you know, that was my first time experiencing it. That brought awareness to it because a lot of people had no idea what that stuff even was. Like, a lot of this just gets continuously swept under the rug and brushed under it as if it never happened. These newer generations know nothing about it. And then they just try to bring it back out as this form of entertainment or this, you know, oh, well, this is just fashion or this is just this. It was the same thing with the the H&M ad with the coolest monkey in the jungle thing. Like, and they're wondering, oh, why are you guys getting so mad? Because it's not okay for you to call us monkeys in the jungle. Like, it's just, 20 years ago you did it and it was disrespectful. Now I'm supposed to be, not supposed to think it's funny? Like, no, like, it's not, that's not cool at all. Like, and, you know, it's so sad because we live in a society where you have these groups of people who are, you know, we're taking these words back. And these words don't have the power that they used to. So we can use these things and we can do these things now because they don't mean anything. And it's like, to some degree, you're right. And to some degree, that can be helpful. But the other side of that pendulum is needed even more. Recognizing that it was wrong and then moving past it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't brush something off so easily if you never actually dealt with the pain and the grunt of it. America as a country has not dealt with slavery. They have not really apologized for that ill stuff that was going on for 400 years. So you can't make fun of it now. Like, it's just, you can't. Like, I'm sorry. Now, and it's even worse.
We're not sorry. We're not sorry. You can't make fun of it, but
But it's even worse when Black people do it, you know, and because now we're so programmed to be okay and so desensitized by this stuff that we perpetuate the stereotype ourselves. Like, it's ridiculous. Now they're not imitating us. We're imitating us. Like, I get so irritated with the guys on Instagram that wear the wigs and just like the girls and put the makeup on and then use short clips in the videos about how ratchet females are. But then in the same breath, we talk about how that is negative and how those attitudes and that type of energy is not needed, and it's what's wrong with our community. But then we perpetuate it and we laugh at it. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's so weird. Like, I love Black people's ability to take something that's supposed to hurt us and disrespect us and flip it on its side and make fun of it and celebrate it. I love that, our ability to do that. But if we ignore the problem, if we can't fix the issue so that it doesn't repeat itself, then we're just making fools of ourselves. We're just laughing at ourselves, helping them laugh too. You know, like,
you know what, I don't want to say it pisses me off, but what makes me angry about all this is the fact that, you know, it takes something like this for all of these brands, all of these labels, all of these major whatevers to be like, oh, we're going to get a diversity and inclusion person on the staff. Don't you think you guys should already have that? Like, after the first time somebody did something stupid in terms of race, the first thing I would do is be like, okay, you know what we're going to do? Not that. We're going to bring somebody in who can handle diversity and all that kind of stuff and inclusion. And at least, at the very least, proofread our stuff, pre-check our pictures, pre-check our inventory. If there's, you know, if there's a whole row of children and they're all going to be in hoodies, like, this, that's what pissed me off about the H&M thing. It wasn't even just that they put, you know, the Black kid in the hoodie that said coolest monkey in the jungle. It was the fact that it was an entire line of children's clothing. They could have put that little beautiful boy in any one of them hoodies and put any one of the other little kids in that coolest monkey in the jungle and been totally fine. They put the Black kid in the monkey hoodie. Like, really? Yeah. There's nobody sitting on the boards of these places, of these people, like, no, y'all, no, this is not what we do. Like, it really pisses me off that, like, that's the exact sort of thing that we need to happen for people to be like, oh, we need to have a diversity person on staff. No, that should be part of your board no matter what. Like, that shouldn't be like, hey, look what we're doing, rah, 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 we have a diversity person. That should be a business basic foundation, period. Simple.
It is, though. It is. Like,
how do you figure?
Like, you have HR, and you have, like, the people who are supposed to be, they put a different title on it or a different spin on what exactly it is, but, excuse me, you have those people in place. The issue is that person isn't qualified for that position. That person is like, you know, excuse me for being prejudiced in a moment, but that's like Mitch from marketing, blonde hair, blue-eyed Mitch, who doesn't see anything wrong with the coolest monkey in the jungle. He doesn't see racism. He doesn't realize that this is disrespectful because he walks around his life as if there's no issue. So it's like, you know, like I have this debate and this conversation with a lot of people because I don't completely fault some whites and some people for being prejudiced and for being racist because ultimately they don't know any other way. and where they don't even, they're so prejudiced and so racist and so embedded in that mindset that they don't realize it's an injustice, it's disrespectful, it's wrong. You know what I mean? So you can't really, you can't hate somebody for what they believe. I've always believed that. You can disagree with them, but you cannot hate the person for what they believe, especially when the foundation for their belief comes from a place that they had no control over. You know what I mean? Same slave owners and sharecroppers, for lack of better phrases, and people who were in charge of slaves and people who were, you know, lawmakers and all that, they had kids who had kids who had kids who taught their values to them. You know what I mean? And it's going to take one person out of the generation to be like, oh, this is wrong. Or somebody to be exposed to something and say, oh, you know, this isn't cool. We've been doing it the wrong way for the longest. And then on top of that, have the courage to do something about it. That's, you know, that's rare.
So I want to go back to what you just said about not hating somebody for what they believe. And I am going to not necessarily agree to disagree, but I'm going to expound on that a little bit, because I agree with you in a sense, but I disagree with the fact that if they say, I'm trying to put this together in a sentence that makes sense. They say ignorance is bliss, you know, and I'm saying that lightly right now because this is about race and there's nothing ignorant about or blissful about being ignorant about race. But ignorance is bliss. So if you don't know any better, then I can't necessarily fault you, but I should go out of my way to educate you to fix that. And if after I've gone out of my way to educate you to fix that and you've been presented with evidence contrary to your beliefs that, you know, negates everything you've been seeing that shows you that the way you're thinking is wrong or that the way that you're thinking may be flawed and you still continue to believe what you believe, then we got a problem. Then I have a problem with you.
Absolutely.
So like, but the people who, like you said, they grow up in rural East Bumble Hell, whatever, and they've never seen a black person because frankly, there just aren't any there, or they just haven't had any dealings with any and all they have is representation on TV or media or whatever. Okay. To a certain extent, you know, I'm willing to work with you and of course educate you, but if you don't believe that,
that's a society issue. The fact that they can live in an area and their entire life never encounter a black person, that's an issue in itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very true. So I'm seeing we got a lot of comments happening on the Facebook feed, and I'm seeing y'all. I really am. I don't even know where to begin to read these things.
I got this watch party popping too. We got a lot of people that's tuned in so far on here.
So Frank checks in and says, talks about the dude in the dress at the Oscars. And I do want to do a show about that, but I haven't put together fully.
Oh my God.
I haven't put together fully how I feel about that yet.
Please don't get me started.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing this right now because I haven't put together my thought process.
Don't do it. Move on to something else. Please don't. Because I have.
So we're going to skip over. We're skipping over the dress comments for now because Tommy and I don't want to get triggered right this moment. We'll wait for another episode. Why are we still talking about diversity in this day and age? Sade says the problem is ignorance. Sometimes they don't even know it's racist. And I call BS on that, too. And let me tell you why. We know everything about everything. We have the internet. We have phones.
No,
we have computers.
Access to everything. That doesn't mean we use it.
It literally takes 30 seconds to Google something and see if it's offensive. Literally.
Yeah, like, but you have to Google it, though. You have to know. You have to even think for a second. You have to stop and think, wait, is this offensive? And then Google it. But if you don't even have that thought to be like, oh, maybe this is wrong, then you won't Google it.
But there's no reason how.
My mama said I can say this.
Nah, there's no reason how I find it hard to believe that an entire room of grown men and women sat around that table and said, yeah, putting a noose around somebody's neck and walking them down the runway is a good idea. Like, I find it hard to believe that nobody realized there might be racist connotations with that. I don't care what anybody says. No, I'm sorry.
Somebody might have brought it to their attention like, oh, wait, that might be racist. But then just that fast, it's like, no. Racism, that's over. That's 400 years ago. Like, there are literally people who believe that racism in America is over. That black people have the same opportunities as whites, as Hispanics, as Asians. It's all leveled. They believe, if there are people who have that Western European mindset that if I work hard, I can pull myself up by my bootstraps, regardless of circumstance, that everybody starts off on the same plan through, and then I could succeed, especially since we had a black president. Now they feel like, oh, you happy you had a black president? The black president told you that you could be anything. So now you have no excuse. And it's like, no, we don't use things for an excuse. We just work around it. You know what I mean? Like we're not afforded this opportunity. So we work around it. And then several times working around it, you just get jaded. And then you teach that same jaded mentality to the next generation.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, the problem that I have with it is that someone has to teach them it's wrong. Like, there has to be somebody in, it's like, I don't know, maybe I just find it really hard to believe that there are entire communities of, like, no, that's not true. I believe that wholeheartedly because there are some in Massachusetts. I take that back. There are areas where people just don't know any better. But that being said, like, it shouldn't be that way.
Because we're around and where we live, like, we're constantly checking ourselves. We're constantly, you know, we're media people, so we're constantly paying attention to the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we type, because we know that these things exist. It's just how we are, and how we're aware of it. Everybody isn't that way.
It's true, I know. But I just get aggravated because it feels like somebody's got to be aware. Somebody has to be aware. You know, there's got to be some woke person on some of these committees somewhere that say, don't do this. Because, like, with Burberry in the noose, they claimed it was for their nautical line. But even still, I'm like, you don't have no nooses and nautical lines. Like, you could have did an anchor. You could have did, like, a sail. You know, like, you could have done any number of things. Like, when do you ever see a noose on a boat besides a slave ship? Like, noose is not even synonymous with nautical. Like, now y'all just think we stupid? Like, come on, man. Like, I can't. And then the other thing was Prada. So I didn't even, as I was doing research for this, I realized that Prada had an issue too, because they were putting out little, basically Sambo keychains on their purses. Why in the world would you need that on your purse? Like, it's not even a cute image. Like, literally little black face characters with the big red lips in little keychains to hang on your purse as a fashion accessory.
AJ, how many did they sell?
A lot before somebody said something. That's what baffles me. I'm like, y'all all stupid. I hate people.
Exactly.
I hate people.
Like, we can't talk about it because we buy it.
Who's we?
So, and, I mean, okay. I don't buy it. Not me. I don't.
So that's an argument I want to make, too. That, you know,
we can't barely afford some of this stuff that we're boycotting.
That's what I'm about to say. You know, they're like, oh, you can't boycott something you can't afford. The hell I can't? Like, first of all, like... Like, just because I don't want to spend $800 on a purse doesn't mean I can't, you know, should I? Right. Probably not. But, like, I could still afford it if I wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, my thing is, we're not purchasing these things, and not that that solves the problem, that kind of perpetuates it. Because I honestly feel like if we were, a lot of these things wouldn't make it to market, because they would pop up on the shelf and we'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, and it would be gone immediately, you know, but I think that part of the reason why these things make it as far as they do into the shelves and onto the shelves and onto models and whoever else is because these are not brands that we shop. Aside from Gucci, which apparently is, like, it's big, you know, Gucci Man, Gucci Gang, all that type of stuff. Like, Gucci is big in the rap community. So that's a thing. But, like,
man, black people scream and holler about Gucci, but you can have a whole ensemble and the only thing Gucci you wearing is the rag or your belt. I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's real, but I'm saying everyone's trying to rep the red and the green all the time. Like, it is what it is, you know, so that's just how it goes. But I mean, Prada, I have not one Prada thing in my closet. Can I afford Prada? If I wanted to, I could probably buy something, but I don't want to buy Prada. You know, like Burberry, I may have a scarf. That's about it. You know, like, but that's like Gucci. I don't think I got a single solitary Gucci thing in my closet. So, I mean, that being said, I can still be offended. I can still boycott. I can still voice my opinion. I can still be a part of the process. You know, like, they try to write you off like, oh, you all can't afford it anyway, so you can't boycott something you can't afford. Watch me. You know, like, we may not buy the product that you're serving or whatever, but we can protest outside your store. We can make it hard for you to conduct business with the people who do. We can do a lot of different things to make business very difficult for you, even if we're not purchasing. You know, so people forget.
One thing they don't realize is that our style and our swag is the influence, ultimately.
Yeah.
Like, these fashions and these different things come from, you know, like I just said, the fact that, okay, we're not afforded this opportunity. So we improvise, we find our ways around it. And then we improvise, find a way around it. They look at it, brand it, and sell it back to us.
Yep, exactly. So we're going to touch on this Floyd Mayweather thing, too.
Not even that long ago. What was the chick, Kylie Jenner, when she started wearing the braids? And then it was like, oh, cornrows, this is this new thing. Like, what?
You're like, what? Like, are they serious right now? Yeah, I remember that.
Like, we have cornrows. We're wearing locks now. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, we passed that. What did Jay-Z said? Like, we already off that.
Right.
Like, so
we didn't move on to anything.
The one thing I do want to talk about, this Floyd Mayweather madness, because he's just a beast of his own idiocy. But I want to talk about something that frustrated me. So first of all, out of all of these companies, Prada, Burberry, Gucci, the only one that I could find any financial information on as I was researching was for H&M. And I feel like maybe it's because H&M, this was so long ago. This was last January. All the rest of this stuff happened within the last 2 months or so. For this is all 2019 stuff with the Prada and the Burberry and everything else. Or at least end of 2018 into early 2019. H&M has some serious trouble financially because of that hoodie. You know, like, they literally had their lowest stock since 2005 after that hoodie dropped. They had a 62% decrease in
H&M, though. Like, H&M ain't like Gucci and Burberry. Like, there's H&Ms in most major cities. We actually shop at H&M. I know I'm a major shopper at H&M, and that killed me when they did that.
Somebody was like, Target and Walmart and all them better not do nothing racist. I'm like, yo, I would be upset. All right, very upset.
I was in Walmart today, so I hope they're not racist.
Listen, I'm gonna get these rollback prices. Like, and this New York shopping got me tripping. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I need them Walmart prices. But anyway,
you know what? They played off of that, though. Like, they've created this, you know, I'm gonna say society, for lack of better phrases, where, you know, we're consumers and we rely on these things. And, like, you know, yeah, they crack the jokes like, oh, you know, if the dollar store ever do this or Walmart ever do that. But, like, I'm pretty sure that the same way on H&M's board is the same way at Target and Walmart and the Dollar Tree and all those places have those white races in a position of power. They just doing a better job of hiding it.
Maybe. I don't know. But either way, just please keep my stores out the limelight so I can continue to shop and live my life. So my question for you is, you know, I saw somebody comment on this too, like Devin commented in the chat and said Floyd had a point. So for those folks that don't know, Floyd Mayweather said he's not boycotting Gucci. He doesn't care. And, you know, so on and so forth, because he's Floyd and he's just an idiot. So
he released a statement there. He has, I'm gonna let you go, but he has an actual reason why, like, he's not a part of the boycott. He didn't go about it the right way when he initially announced that he wasn't gonna include himself in a boycott. But once he released that statement, I was shocked. Like, Floyd surprised me with this situation, how he handled himself. And I think he learned something from previous situations where he didn't handle himself correctly. Because, he had a point. He made some valid points.
So break it down. What was his points then for the audience and for the folks listening?
So for those who don't know, one of the designers for Gucci is a man by the name of Dapper Dan. Dapper Dan had his own, like, kind of line and clothing line of, like, you know, more formal professional wear that was geared towards African Americans. He got a job at Gucci, so he was a designer for Gucci. So Floyd had been supporting him since the beginning of his career. So once he joined Gucci, it was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, big ups. That's like, you know, somebody from the hood getting a record deal. Like, so that was a big thing that you're now part of this major place, and I'm going to continue to support your design, continue to support you and Gucci. That was his whole stance on that. And then, not to mention, you know, this is the latest thing, and just the latest trend, the latest fad to now, you know, boycott Gucci. Like, even like you said, you know, months ago it was a thing to boycott H&M. Pretty sure there are black folk now, after all this thing fell off and is all over, are now shopping in H&M. Just like years ago, we found out, you know, Jordan made some comments about black folks. Years later, we're still wearing Jordan. Years
that
ago,
never even stopped.
Timberland made comments about black folks. Years later, we're still wearing Timberland. You know what I'm saying? So Floyd's argument was like, oh, this is just the latest fad to boycott this new thing. Like, nobody's actually taking the time to research and learn and educate themselves and do something real about these things. They're just going along with the new fad, which I said something about before on this show. Like, let's not just, you know, go with the fad of, oh, we're going to boycott this now, but let's actually open up and have real conversations about it and do something about it. Not just protest, but like the same post, the same long rant and the post that you put on your Facebook, you could formalize that into a letter to your congressman. You know what I'm saying? To your alderman to actually make some real change. Write in a vote, start a petition, something like that. You know what I mean? And like Floyd definitely singled out rappers. He threw some shot at T.I. because of course T.I. did that track about him. But he threw some shots at T.I. basically saying like, you made a career out of making music that is disrespectful to women and disrespectful to black people. And, you know, like you made your career, like rappers and singers and performers and stuff had made their careers off doing this. And now this is coming up. Now you want to join this movement to start boycotting to, again, sell records. Like people are only doing this and being a part of it. He pointed out the fact that people are only a part of this for personal gain. And now they're trying to single him out like he did something wrong. He's just living his life. I didn't like the fact that he, you know, a lot of times when he speaks, it seems like he don't really, like, I guess he don't associate with poor black people anymore. Like, I don't understand why he feel like that. But he did make a point in this case specifically.
Okay. All right, fair enough. But I still feel like everything you just said, okay, that's fine and dandy. But all right, so Floyd, you're calling out other people. What are you doing to make a difference besides continuing to support the problem? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to say that about people, you need to come back and be like, I'm doing X, Y, and Z to start action or to do this, that, and the third. You can't, it's, I mean, you saying he had a good point is just like, well, he pointed a finger back at T.I. in a good way, you know, like, but neither one of them are doing anything. Neither one of them are benefiting, you know, the black community. Neither one of them are putting anything into the community. So, I mean, more or less, like, it's really like, well, he had a good argument or he had a good defense and that was it. But it doesn't help the case at all. You know what I mean? Like, especially given what you said, like, don't just rant about it. Don't just rave about it. Like, actually turn your rants and raves into action. And neither of them have done that. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm still not Team Floyd, but I never really was Team Floyd, to be honest. Like, hockey athletes like that. So, yeah, not a fan.
I mean, I never was a big, you know, Floyd Mayweather fan. I caught a couple of his fights. I lost some money because of him here and there. But that's a
word.
That's not for the show. But no, I support anybody who is successful, especially African Americans and people who get to that upper echelon and then reach back and try to pull people out. I definitely support them even more, and I don't necessarily see Floyd as one of those people. However, I'm not going to ridicule him because, again, he's another person who is just not knowing. Like, have you seen his father? He hasn't had much of a educational upbringing. You know what I mean? And then, like, it was the song that T.I. did about him. He made a valid point when he was talking about, you know, ain't you from, like, Detroit or ain't you from Michigan? And, like, there's a crisis in Flint that you're doing nothing about. And Floyd has billions of dollars. He could probably build that well by himself, and he's not doing it. So, like, I point the finger at entertainers and artists when it comes to stuff like that, definitely. Because, like,
there's a phone ringing.
Doing more in the black community.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's Devin, you need to call the other number, 914-619-5267. You're calling the wrong number. I'm like, we got a phone ringing. I'm like, why is there a phone ringing?
That meet your phone, girl.
That line's not supposed to be ringing. That's why.
No, but you know, it's real quick. Tell a quick story. Everybody knows Tupac Shakur, of course. There's a recording that's like circling around the internet of Tupac having a conversation with a minister. It was maybe a couple months or so before he died, and he was basically trying to get this initiative together where he was taking artists from, you know, certain regions or from their cities and setting up community centers in every major city in America run by the prospective artists from that city. He was setting up curfews for like drug dealers and, like, you know, just during these hours, you know, we can get all the gangs and all the hustlers and all the drug dealers and stuff together and basically say during these hours when the kids is out, let's just stay off the street. Let's not have any activity. Let's not have anything going on like that. And he had some major names of the time a part of that movement. I argue every time something like this happens that somebody else needs to, you know, take over that type of initiative, because that's just an amazing idea. Like, these entertainers that we pride ourselves on, these celebrities that we raise up so high, you know, it would be a major thing for them to come back into our communities and be like, yo, stop doing this. It's a whole other thing when you're on TV and they're doing a campaign because, you know, oh, they're being paid to do that. You know what I'm saying? But if they're taking money out of their own money, I mean, out of their own pocket, you know, taking time out of their own schedule to say that this is the issue and we need to fix this, you know, that's a big thing. And I feel like that was some ripples through the ghetto.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would. I mean, 100% it would. There's a lot of individuals right now that all they had to say, what was there's a D. Ray Davis stand-up that I absolutely love watching, and he talks about how he's like, black people respect signs. And he's like, you know, if they put up a sign that said, don't shoot people, black people wouldn't shoot people. And I feel like there's a lot of people in the community right now, or even just celebrities and, you know, famous people around the world who could literally give us one sentence, who could say something like that, like Tupac said, and have enough ripple effect to really make a difference. Like, it's just people stepping up and using the platform that they have and using it the right way. You know, like, but people don't do that. People just, they're so afraid of making a political stance or afraid of making a stand in general that they just don't say anything, and things just continue to perpetuate and perpetuate, when all it takes is somebody to just say, hey, why don't we not? You know, people are like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's literally all it takes, you know. But I want to give the mic over to Devin, who's calling in right now. Devin, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How's everybody?
Oh, you sound slow. What's going on? Like, why are you talking in slow motion? Like,
I'm sorry. Long day, family man now, so attending to the kids, and then also going to night classes and everything.
Man, you sound like you are half asleep.
We out here. You better wake up.
I just wanted to clarify for my comment, basically, saying, like, Lloyd had a point. Like, granted, like, when I say he has a point, it was a part where he said, like, he doesn't represent the black community at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wind up, like, as a black community or African-American community, we put these expectations on these celebrities and superstars, hoping, you know, for, you know, since they made it, you know, since they made it, quote, like, quote, that we expect for them to be our voices. And the same thing goes for Lil Wayne. Like, he said the same thing, like, yo, like, yeah, that's not really, I don't really care for the matter because I make too much money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and like Floyd said, he was just like, yo, ain't nobody helped him get to the point where, like, you know what I'm saying, where he's at now. And when he said that, I said, damn, he, you know what I mean, he right. Like, I wasn't there in the boxing ring letting him beat me up, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't pay for his training, nor did I even pay for that man to get marketed in the paper or anything. So, like, I think we need to stop putting these expectations on these stars and everything, when they, especially, like, if they're not standing in the limelight, if they're not asking to stand. Then all well. Like, I mean, like, I understand it. I understand the backlash. It is what it is. But to sit up there and say, oh, Floyd is wrong, that man is entitled to every bit of whatever he wants to do. It's his money.
Absolutely.
Yes and no. Yes and no. And Tommy, no, you know I can go in on the idea of role models and being in the platform and the spotlight. I'm not going to do it tonight because we ain't got the time.
No, we talked about that before in the show, though. Like, you know, when you become a celebrity,
well,
you get a certain
at the end
kind
of the day,
of,
I mean, like I said, even when it comes to role models, as the black community, we need to realize who our role models are at the end of the day. Like, who's advocating for us and who's, like, you know, being the voice for our communities. I mean, most people would be like, oh, well, you know, Jay-Z is a good role model. Yeah, but he's not advocating for the community. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has no, like, he's not, like, for instance, prime example would be Muhammad Ali. Every time there was an injustice or social injustice, Muhammad Ali would sit there and give his opinion on it and also speak for his people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so at the end of the day, I was going, like we don't need, like, for if they're not volunteering, if any superstar is not volunteering for that limelight, then hey, they have every right to do whatever they want.
I disagree with that, because I feel like if we're the consumers of your, if we're making you your money, like Floyd can say nobody helped him get to where he is, but you're making money off of boxing that we come and see, that we are spectators of. On some level, we are helping you because it's our money going into your pockets. Same thing with these entertainers, same thing with these performers, same thing with all these people in the spotlight. That is what comes with it. Like, you can't say, I want to be a firefighter and then be like, oh, but I'm not trying to be in no fires, though. Like, that's not how this works. Like, if you sign up for a job or you sign up for a role, you're in a task, you're in for that task. You can't pick and choose what part of the limelight or what part of the job you want to be associated with or what part you don't want. That's not how that works.
But But you can literally, like, literally, it does work like that, because at the end of the day, as a lawyer, you know what I'm saying, like, you may specialize in a certain field as a lawyer, but then someone's coming to you and asking you about, like, let's just say you specialize in as a business lawyer, but then someone comes to you asking you about an accident. You can't, as a lawyer who specializes in business and helping to organize a business, you can't speak on anything that you don't know nothing about.
No. We're arguing. Well, you're giving two different points, though. You're giving two different analogies. Go ahead, Tommy. What are you going to say?
I mean, no, I was going to say, like, in that situation, like, no, you wouldn't be able to speak on it specifically because that's not your field. But you could recommend them to somebody else who could. And, like, what I was, you know, going to say to your point, like, in what you made about Muhammad Ali, you're absolutely right about Muhammad Ali. And around his time, the African-American celebrities, because of the time period, they were speaking for us. They were advocating for us and for when it came to, you know, those situations. I think that's part of the issue, too. The fact that historically, Black celebrities and, you know, Black, just those figures, those larger-than-life figures, have stood for us. You remember when the Grammys didn't show the hip-hop nominations, all of the rap artists that were nominated that year got together and decided, we're not going to go to the Grammys. And then it made a difference. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that same kind of community in the artists that we have, especially with the rap. You know, there's so much, you know, back and forth and diss songs. And, you know, you look at the argument between Nicki and Cardi. You can like both of them. You don't have to like one of them. But every time we're in this situation, we're pitted against each other. You got to pick sides and like this person, like that person. So it's so much division now that there's no camaraderie in our celebrities. So they're not going to band together to do something like I will say this because now I got to catch myself in saying what I was getting ready to say, because they do band together in some situations. If you point the finger at the Barack Obama campaign. Yeah, a lot of celebrities and a lot of African Americans that got together because that was a major moment in our history. We just need to react the same way at every one of those situations, and we're not doing. Why? I don't quite have the answers, but I think that's a part of what we're dealing with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Deb, we're going to let you go for tonight. Do you have any other points before we let you go? We're getting ready to wrap the show. Nope. Good.
All right.
That's that. All
Thanks
right.
For calling.
See ya. No, I'm kidding. So the last question I wanted to sort of address is this idea that, or I want to get your opinion, T, I guess, and the folks watching right now and the folks listening. So in my opinion, it seems to me that even if we're not people who like sort of go to these establishments and frequent these establishments or these businesses, it seems to me that all of a sudden now, within the last couple of years or within the last, I'll say maybe decade, you know, loosely, Black outrage has become a marketing strategy. You know, do you agree with that? Like, I feel as though these sort of companies now are like, okay, this is going to piss off the Black community or the minority community, but it's going to boost our numbers here. It's going to do this, that, and the third. And any publicity is good publicity. And it's almost like an easy gimme. Like, if you're trying to get your name back out there, like, oh, they're not talking about Prada no more. Let's do something racist. That'll get us back on there. It may piss off the Black community, but they're not going to really boycott us. And if they do, it won't be for long. And, you know, it'll be fine. You know, so do you think that at this stage of the game, at this point, we've now made it so that Black outrage is a marketing strategy for these businesses?
Absolutely. It's because of the machine of, you know, social media. Everything has become some sort of marketing trend. You can turn any kind of pain, any kind of anguish, any kind of happiness, any kind of sadness, any trend, anything. You can turn anything into a trending topic and sell whatever your product is off of that. Period.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. It is what it is. And it's because we turn everything into some form of entertainment. Serious things happen, we make memes about it. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's what we do with social media. I've had conversations with people about this before. Social media is one of the most powerful and the most detrimental tools that we have. Because with it, it could help us so much and bring so many things so far along. And in the same breath, it could destroy everything.
Yeah. Hell yeah, definitely. I don't even know what to say.
Because you said earlier in this show, like, we can Google. We could just go. We have the phone. We could do this. Yeah, we could. We have the access. But if you don't utilize that access, then what? You know what I mean? Like, you could literally take your phone and learn how to do a skill that can make you millions of dollars. But that's not the YouTube video you watch. You watch the cat video because it's fun.
Hey, you know what I mean? I like cat videos, okay? I like cat videos a lot.
I'm just saying, I use the cat video because that's what's popular on YouTube. But that's what it is. People, you know, I spend hours on end on my phone and I learn nothing from it. And that's the problem.
I mean, not everybody can say that, though. You know, like,
not everybody.
But yeah, but by and large, we usually don't learn anything.
Who definitely uses his social media platform for what it should be used for. But for every B-Ra, there's a got you cracking up. Or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The bull stuff and such. It's one of those for everyone. And the negative one is the one that gets all the prominence. Because, you know, like, people don't want to be, life is already serious. People don't want to deal with serious issues all the time. Sometimes they want to laugh. Sometimes they want to let loose. And we've just gotten too used to laughing and letting loose all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
Time to get serious, people.
Time to get serious. T, where can they find you and follow you?
Same as always, Who is Tommy Flame? @ Who is Tommy Flame on all forms of social media. You can # Who is Tommy Flame and you'll find some stuff from me. Music on SoundCloud. Google me. We out here.
You always say Google me. I hate when you say Google me. Anyway. And I am @ @just_jams
well,
on Instagram.
You Google me?
No, I don't need to. I know who you are. I don't need to Google you. Anyway. @just_jams on Instagram. I'm @ Jamie Jam on Facebook. You can also follow the station @ WJMS Radio on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We'll be back again with a brand new episode next week, most likely album review week. If you have any albums you guys want us to review or any albums you think are worth it, please hit us in the inbox or drop a comment on the chat below. We appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, T, hit him with the phrase.
We out here.
You understand me now. Even sometimes you see that I'm mad. No one can always be an angel. When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
Yeah, We do this for the people that walk that path, trying to get to their dream. Yeah. He stood on the corner with the rest of them. Though we knew that this corner wasn't the best of them. Hard streets and the life that caressed them. Dirt police, domestic beefs that's festering. He knew the president wasn't addressing them. Though dead presidents was addressing them. Two kids from hot sex, no protection in. People don't see how age is affecting them. It get hard, you get to get the guy questioning. Can't find a job, so you rob it and hustling. He killed Marx and sold dope for cousin them. Can't believe they would be the ones bucking him. He on the ground, he can feel God touching him. He heard the sound of his mom saying trust in him. At heaven's gate saying, Lord, please let me in. Or send me back to tell my people to be better men. Cause we are. She danced, for them. Her body moved, but her mind was Magna Can. Thinking, I don't know where they hands and been. Relationships with men have been so damaging. She thought back to when she was at Howard and dreams of doing scenes with Terrence Howard and Broadway plays and dancing with Alvin them. The ones that make it always ain't the talented. Some dreams get lost, never to be found again. At first stripping seems so empowering. Most every girl wanna do it now and then. friend. But being me every day is devouring. Cats with paper where she put powder in. Life would break her, now she powdering. She was high when she fell down in it. Crowd surrounding it, heart was pounding it. She fell into a deep sleep, the siren sounded it. Seen bright lights in the midst of clouds in it. Talk to God, feeling like his child again. Said, Lord, let me live so I can make you proud again. Cause we are.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.